Hello, and welcome to another online message from Higher Ground Christian Worship Center. If you happen to be in the area, please stop by our 10 o'clock Sunday worship service here at 9760 Rocket Lane in Converse, Texas. We'd love to see you. Until then, let's all listen to today's message from our pastor, Pastor Stephen R. Tucker.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Higher Ground.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good to see you all here. You can take your seats for those who are joining us on by way of Zoom. Good morning to you as well. We thank God for each of you being present for this day that the Lord has made. And I will to rejoice, just like David said, I will to rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful to God for yet another opportunity to come and to worship collectively and to hear His word. It's been a good week. I hope it's been a good week for each of you as well. I'm looking forward to what will come through this week, even through its challenges and the things that we face on a day-to-day basis. We can take comfort in the words of that song that says, I am not alone.
Yes.
Knowing that God walks with us, that He is ever before us, and that He even comes up behind us and is our rear guard. So we are grateful to God for His presence in our lives. Today, I want to share with you on a topic that has often produced a lot of conversation, sometimes misinformation, and even more, sometimes a little bit of confusion. But we are going to hopefully be able to clarify some things that we hear today, and in the message, it will hopefully provide some insight and some illumination on this topic. And so what I want to speak on this morning is, y'all can practice this word when you get home, glossolalia. Everybody say glossolalia.
Glossolalia.
There you go. One more time. Glossolalia.
Glossolalia.
So we're going to talk about glossolalia 101. That word glossolalia is the theological term for a action known as speaking in tongues. So we're going to be talking about demystifying speaking in tongues. We're going to hopefully take some of the mystery out of this subject and make it very plain for each of us to understand. Speaking in tongues has long been one of the subjects in Christianity that has been both a lightning rod in the church and in secular society. Among the charisma or the gifts that we read about in the Bible, this one gift is often misunderstood, and as a result, many times it's pushed to the side. It's looked at with contempt, or it's dismissed as irrelevant or even fake. So this teaching today will hopefully remove any misunderstanding that you might have, any confusion or even inhibitions you might have about this subject. Now, before we dive in, it's important for us to recognize that we consider everything that God wanted us to know about Himself, He recorded it in Scripture. Everything that He wants us to know about who He is, about how He operates, about what it means to be in His kingdom, He put it in here. So when we find this topic in here, that means that we can discover what it was, what was His intention for it. In the Old Testament, starting in the book of Genesis, all the way through Malachi, we see God giving a description of Himself. We also see Him operating in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, He reveals Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, He is describing His character, His nature. That's why we have so many names for God in the Old Testament. He revealed Himself by His characteristics. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and he is the embodiment of God. So he reveals himself. So if we truly want to understand about something like this, we have to follow a principle that is used in the theological field of study called hermeneutics. You may have heard that term before, may not, it's not a big deal. Hermeneutics is a branch of knowledge that deals with interpretation. More specifically, has to do with how we interpret the Bible. So if you go through a theological school or study, you will take a class called hermeneutics because you must know how to interpret the Bible accurately. But in hermeneutics, there is a principle, if you will, and the principle is called the law of first mention. Somebody say the law of first mention.
The law of first mention.
The law of first mention says that if you want to get a basic understanding of what a biblical word means, instead of going to the dictionary, look up the first time that it is introduced or mentioned in scripture. When you do that, then you get a better idea of what it was that was intended when you find that word. And so if we follow this principle of the law of first mention, then when we start to look into what this idea or demystifying tongues has to do, then we will find it makes it more easy for us. So if we follow this and we look at the first time we discovered the term speaking in tongues in the Bible, it's found in the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter. So I'm going to ask you to turn there with me, and we will read that together, and then we will go forward. Mark's Gospel, this is in the New Testament. The 16th chapter and the 15th verse. In fact, we'll pick it up at the 15th verse. In Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the 15th verse, yours might be in red letters. That simply means Jesus is the one who was talking. And it says, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Verse 17. "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues." I want to pause right there because that is the essence of where I'm going to pick up from today. Jesus begins, if you could say this, his ending in terms of his time with the disciples by giving them something that they should expect or anticipate. He says, there's going to be a time when believers, those who believe on my name, will have the enablement that they will be able to drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, and then he goes on to say they will be able to handle serpents and things like that, and if they should drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. He gives them this understanding. This is the first mention that we find of speaking in tongues in scripture. And so we find ourselves now with the ability to see that if Jesus himself has given us an introduction to this, then we should be able to follow it beyond his introduction and find out what it means. He says, preach the gospel to every creature. That's every person. Those who will believe and are saved, in his name, they would cast out demons, they would speak in tongues. Is everybody still with me so far?
Yes.
All right, because I'm going to be trying to lay this out succinctly. This is the first mention, so this is a new development that has occurred. We don't find anywhere in the Old Testament where a person speaks in tongues. Nowhere in the Old Testament. Jesus points to it in this verse of Mark, and he, in essence, is saying there is something on the horizon that will be available to all believers. That's what he just said. Prior to this, it could not happen. The reason it could not happen, because the account of the good news had not been fulfilled. So what was the account of the good news? Jesus first had to die. He had to be in the grave for 3 days. He had to be resurrected. He had to ascend to the Father. And after he had ascended to the Father, then he was able to send the gift of the Comforter. The Comforter is the one who brought the gifts with him. So before any of that could happen, Jesus had to fulfill his part in the equation. So when we keep an eye on the development of the earliest believers, we find them following the instructions of Jesus, who told them to wait in the upper room in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so they did as they were instructed. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says they spoke with other tongues. You see the fulfillment of it in that place. We will find that the two are inextricably tied together, meaning before you see the speaking in tongues, there's the filling of the Holy Spirit. They don't happen in a vacuum together, or they must be tied together. And the reason this occurs is because the before a person can receive what Paul refers to as the gift of tongues, you must receive the giver before you can receive the gift. Many times people get that out of place. If you want to receive the gift, you got to receive the giver. And so this is where we find ourselves getting a good understanding of how this gift comes about, how it comes into being. So somebody say, before I can receive the gift,
I
need to receive the giver.
Now
let's take a moment and review at what happened on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts, chapter number 2. You can turn there if you like. I want to read something to you because I think it, again, helps us to get to break down this idea of what is taking place. Acts chapter number 2, and I will begin reading at verse number 38. This is on the day of Pentecost. This is after those initial disciples who had followed Jesus had been in the upper room. The Holy Spirit who was promised came down. He filled them. Now Peter is sharing with those who are gathered together. And in verse number 38 of chapter number 2, listen to what Peter says. He replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you find that there? So Peter is preaching. He gives this. And then he goes on in verse number 39. He says, this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So he makes it quite clear. First of all, he says, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and every one of you, and you shall receive the gift. So he gives us what I would like to say. He identifies very clearly the who, what, where, when, why, and how. Let's go back to that verse. Starting at verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent. Now, he doesn't do them always in the order that we typically hear it, but he says, repent and be baptized. That word is not a request. He's telling the people, you need to repent and be baptized. So he is giving the when, which is now. You need to do this right now. Repent, be baptized. Then he goes on to the who, every one of you. So he doesn't exclude anybody. He doesn't say this is only for you. He says for every one of you. So he gives the when, which is now. He gives the who, every one of you. Now he gives the how, in the name of Jesus. Makes it quite clear. The why is for the remission of sin. And then he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the what? So all of these things he gives us. Now he tells us this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, meaning the promise that Peter spoke of did not stop with those believers. That's why he says this promise is to you, to your children, and to those who are far off. In other words, people who have not been born yet. And we still have the same scripture that applies today. So he is saying this script or this gift is for you, it's for your children, it's for those who are far off, meaning those who have not even been born today. It's still available. He says, I want you to understand that this is for you, that it must be in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Now, that word is a kind of a not understood clearly sometimes, but remission simply means the exemption from the consequences of an offense. So if I have committed an offense and my offense is remitted, it means that I have received forgiveness or the exemption from the consequences of my offense. That's what Jesus did when he came to take away our sins. And it's referred to in other places as grace. Grace is the opposite of karma. How many of y'all have heard the term karma before? Karma says you do this, you get back whatever you did. Well, getting what you deserve, grace, karma is getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. So Jesus tells them, Peter tells them that I want you to be baptized, repent, you'll receive this gift. So the opportunity of speaking in tongues remains available to every believer. The believer has to receive the giver, and when the giver comes, he brings his gifts with him. So we must try to recognize that we have a, to have a spiritual gift, we really are saying that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit because the gifts belong to him. Y'all with me? When the gifts come, he does not come and drop something off and just depart, but he gives us of himself, his spirit, and when we have his spirit on the inside, he is the holder of the gifts, but he distributes them as he desires. So Peter said the promised gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone, for your kids, for everybody. So by describing tongues in these two ways, which I'm about to describe to you, I hope that I will demystify and it will make things much clearer. The first description that I want to give to you for tongues is praying in tongues. Sometimes people have heard it as a prayer language or the term prayer language. It might not be the best term, but I use this term because it's the one we hear most often in different church settings. So when a person has been baptized with the Holy Spirit, he or she receives the power or the ability to speak in new tongues. I'm going to say that again. When a person has been baptized with the Holy Spirit, he or she receives the power and the ability to speak in new tongues or in tongues anytime he or she wishes. Now you have to listen real closely to my words, because when I break the next section down, hopefully you will hear the distinction between the two. When a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit, we have the ability, we receive the ability to speak in tongues anytime we wish. This becomes a new way, hear this, for us to communicate with God. How do I know this? I want you to turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians. This is where we will take some time to go through scripture, and hopefully this will First Corinthians chapter number 14, starting at verse number 2. It says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. Everybody see that? Read it one more time. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So when God gives the gift of tongues at the time of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, he has now enabled us a way that we can communicate with him in addition to our normal type of prayer. But when we speak in the tongue, we are communicating only with God. Even we do not understand what is being spoken, but the Bible says we speak mysteries, and we want to find out why that is so important for us to grasp, because it's important for us to have in our arsenal, if you will. Scripture tells us that we should make use of this ability as often as possible because of the spiritual benefits that it brings. We just read that nobody will understand this language. It's meant for communication between you and God. We are speaking not to men, but to God, because no one would understand us, and we are speaking mysteries. Now, as for the benefits of this ability, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, y'all remember we were going over the armor and the spiritual armor that we discussed several months ago. But Ephesians 6 and 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So when he breaks it down, he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Why? He wants us to do it a lot. He wants us to do it frequently. And he says, with all kinds of prayers and requests, meaning you introduce praying in tongues along with your other types of prayers. Now, we have learned here some time ago that there are other types of prayers, such as intercession, giving petitions, supplications, giving of thanks. All of those are types of praying. But now we see that there's a new way that we are able to pray where we communicate directly with God, which is through tongues. So it's called the prayer language, if you will. Another benefit that is found is in Jude chapter number 1, verse 20. And he says this. This is Jude, the book right before Revelation. He says, but you, dear friends, building yourselves up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Here's another reinforcement of why it's important. So he says, as Jude says, you are able to build up your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what he is trying to help us to clear, be very clear about here. He says, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. So we're to do it on all occasions. Somebody say all occasions. Because it helps us to build ourselves up in our faith. So praying in this manner is a faith activity. And it's between you and God. It's a faith activity because many times when a person is first experiencing this, experience, they don't really always understand, and they may not trust the leading of the Holy Spirit and allow it to occur or to flow freely. So they might shut it down, because when you hear it, if you've ever heard someone speaking in tongues, I will be the first to agree with you that it sounds like gibberish. People hear it, they're like, what in the world is that language? It's not a language that anyone is able to decipher, because it's a language that only happens between us and God. And everybody's language is a little bit different. So when nobody's going to be able to understand, I don't understand my own, but I just know that I'm responsible to do it as often as I can. And so I don't do it in the presence of everybody, because people will kind of look at you. Paul even said, well, some people might come in and hear you. They'd be like, are these people not mad? So he gives us this understanding to know, but it is beneficial because it builds us up. So he says, I want you to do it frequently. I want you to do it often. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water is synonymous with the Spirit of God. So when we have the opportunity to speak to God as through the Holy Spirit, we are allowing the Holy Spirit to flow out of us, and he is communicating with God mysteries and things that will build us up. This is a key distinction between tongues as prayer or prayer language, and the gift of tongues. I want you to stay with me. I've just been talking to you about tongues as a prayer language. Now I want to talk about the gift of tongues. When we are simply acting on our ability to use our prayer language, no interpretation is necessary. Why? Because we're speaking directly to God. God understands it. So there's no interpretation necessary. And since it is through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, no interpreter is necessary. We are speaking mysteries to God, as Paul writes about, but we are being built up. Praying in the Spirit yields so much more for us than simply praying in our natural understanding. I'm not discounting our normal prayer. Please don't hear that. We are supposed to pray with our understanding. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray in the understanding. So we do both, but praying the Spirit yields great spiritual benefits for us because it builds up our faith in a way that praying with our understanding cannot. The Holy Spirit is the one who is doing the work. So if you ask a person who utilizes this ability, oftentimes they will tell you that they can do it on demand. The control of being able to pray in tongues is automatic because we have been filled and we have been given the ability to do it. This is the distinction also between speaking in tongues, which I refer to, or I've been referring to, and the gift of tongues, which I'm about to go into. Y'all good with that part?
Yeah.
That is the prayer, praying in tongues. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to talk about the gift of tongues. Yeah. The Bible lists 9 manifestations as gifts of the Spirit. 9 of them, we find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They are referred to as sign gifts. They are referred to as sign gifts. When someone receives one or more of these gifts from the Holy Spirit, also known as manifestations, he or she exercises that gift in faith. And as they exercise it in faith, other people receive the benefit. Now, I want you to hear the difference between praying in our prayer language. Who gets the benefit of that? We do. Sign gifts are always for the benefit of somebody else, never for the believer himself. God did it that way because he wanted the body to be built up. And that's why he gave gifts to the body. So the difference between the gift of tongues and the enablement to pray in tongues, remember, as I said, praying in tongues only benefits me, the person who's using his or her language. These 9 gifts are further divided down into 3 categories. They're known as the speaking gifts. You have the revelation gifts, you have the power gifts. But tongues is one of the 3 speaking gifts because the Holy Spirit influences or prompts the person who has the gift to speak. You with me? In tongues, I can pray on demand in my prayer language. The sign gift of tongues happens when the Holy Spirit prompts me to speak in tongues. So let me give you an example. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on everybody who was in the upper room, they began to speak with other tongues. Now, how do we know that this was something that the Holy Spirit was motivating? Because there were people there from all around the world. And they looked at them and they said, these are Hebrews, Jewish people. They said, how can we all hear in our native language? Why was that? It was a sign that God had given to those believers at that time, the sign gift of tongues. So as they were prompted to start speaking, people could hear their own language, even though the people who were speaking it did not know the language they were speaking. That's how God, he's just bad like that. I have a friend, good friend, who is a pastor in Mississippi. Some people know him here, met him in my transition of getting to San Antonio. He told me the story many, many years ago about an experience that he had in his own church where he was preaching. And he said he was up preaching, and while he was up preaching, the Holy Spirit prompted him and he began to speak in tongues. And he was still preaching while he was doing that. After the service was over, he said a gentleman walked up to him and said, how did you get so fluent in my language? He said, what are you talking about? He said, you were preaching, and then you started speaking in my dialect of Africa. He said, and you were saying things to me, and it had ministered to him. God had shared things with him, and the pastor was like, I don't know what you're talking about. But it was a sign gift given to him at that moment. He responded, and God did something for the person. It wasn't for him. It was for what God wanted to say to the person. So when we have this understanding, the Bible refers to it as the gift of diversities of tongues. It's within the category of speaking of gifts because the Holy Spirit is the one who is influencing or doing the prompting. Now, I talked about praying in tongues earlier, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, Paul says something that helps us to be clear about this. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He's talking about praying in the spirit or our prayer language. He makes that clear. He says, yet in the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19, he says, yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, meaning 5 words that people can understand, that by my voice, I might teach others also. than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So he's trying to make clear to those who are there, there serves a purpose for us in what we're doing and how we do. Now, earlier in that same chapter, he says that, as I just mentioned, I would that you would speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesied. He says, for greater is he that prophesies than he who speaks in tongues, unless there be interpretation. In other words, he says prophecy carries more weight in the sense of prophecy is for the exhortation, edification, and comfort of the church. So if I speak in tongues, but there is no interpretation, the body is not edified. But if there's the spoken word in tongues and there is the interpretation, when that happens, now it carries the same understanding as when a prophetic word goes forth. So we see these two, again, working together. They are all listed in the speaking gifts. You have the speaking of tongues. You have the diversities. You have the interpretation. All of these are, or we have prophecy, I'm sorry, excuse me. You have speaking of tongues, and then you have the interpretation. All of these work together. And they're all, again, designed for us to understand why and how they work so that there's no misunderstanding or communication. So we see that the gifts of diversities of tongues and tongues as a prayer language both originate by the Holy Spirit. There's no distinction. The Holy Spirit is the one who does both or gives both. One is from the Holy Spirit, comes from the time of infilling. He enables us to pray as we desire and to give the tongues. Then when we are recipients of a gift, the gift that he gives, it can be given to any person. Now, I personally have not received, at least operated in the gift of interpretation or the gift where I am speaking an unknown tongue that is not a tongue that I have studied or a language that I've studied that someone else understood. I just say, yet, yeah, hasn't happened to me yet. I always like to put a disclaimer on things that I don't limit God. However, he gives us giftings, healing, miracles, gifts of faith, prophecy, words of wisdom, all of these gifts he gives to the body so that the body can collectively be edified. Now, these two, I'm just focusing on tongues now. Our prayer language, and I'm about to wrap up, is not understood by anyone but God. It's intended for God, and it edifies the speaker. Y'all with that? Talking about, again, the difference between the two. In our prayer language, it's not understood by anyone but God, because God's the only one who needs to understand what it is. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
And it edifies the speaker, the person who is actually speaking. Tongues differs from prophecy in this way. When the gift of prophecy is given, a person will generally speak a message from God under divine influence, and the message will be given in the language of the intended audience. So a prophetic word comes, it will always come in the language of the receiving audience so it can be understood. Okay? In general, when the gifts of diversities of tongues and the interpretation of tongues are given, a person will speak a message from God under divine influence, but it will usually be a language unknown to the intended audience. But that's why he gives the gift of interpretation, so that that can then be revealed, and then that message can be interpreted, and everybody receives the benefit. You with me? All right. So when the gifts are flowing, when they're working properly, then the same person or someone else present will be able to hear the meaning or the interpretation of that message by the Holy Spirit. That person will then speak out the interpretation in the language of the intended audience. And the end result is that everybody collectively gets the message from God that they can understand, and that's called edification. Either way, whether it's a prophetic word or the gift of diversity of tongues and the interpretation, a message from God delivered through a person to another person or to a group of people. The message will come from God, but it will be delivered through persons that receive that gift. And the result is that the other people in the congregation are blessed. God usually speaks through someone in order to bless another person or group of people. That's why the gifts are given to us. They are very similar in some regards. So what I want to do now, I'm going to close with a couple of things, keys that you can hear to hear the distinction between the two. Again, the whole purpose of this was to demystify this whole idea of what is spooky or whatever. There's not anything spooky or mysterious about it. God wants us to have full understanding of what it is that he's done and why he's done it. So there's differences between the two. Very, very clear differences. In prayer language, and I'm going to sound like I'm beating a dead horse, you are the one who usually initiates. As I mentioned, if you have the enablement, you can pray in your prayer language whenever you want to. Do it in your own personal space. It is the Holy Spirit that initiates it. In the prayer language, the speaker is the main beneficiary. In the spiritual gift, other people are the main beneficiaries, or the gift of diversity of tongues. In your prayer language, you are talking to God. In the diversities of the spiritual gift, God is talking to others through you. In your prayer language, you are encouraged to do it all the time. In the spiritual gift, you only do it when the Holy Spirit prompts you. In the prayer language, no interpretation is needed or expected because God is the intended audience and he understands it. And in the spiritual gift of interpretation, tongues will likely be given so that people can understand the message and receive the benefit that God had intended for them. So when we really take our time to look through what this means for us as believers, God is saying, listen, I've made it available for my own purposes that benefit you and the body. In one case, when I've given you the prayer language, it's so that you can build yourself up in your faith. You can do it as much as you want to. You can be in your car. You can be in your house. You can be in your bathroom. You can pray in tongues. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. He said, but I would rather that you prophesy. Now, the reason he said, I'd rather that you prophesy, because guess who gets built up when prophecy goes forth? The body. He says, this is not a one-man show. I don't want just one. It's good for you to get built up in your faith. He said, but the purpose of the gifts is to build up the body. Now, the thing that we must come to is that we should seek out, the Bible says, seek out earnestly the gifts. In one place, it says covet the best gifts. Now, whenever we look at the word covet, normally in scripture, it has a negative connotation to it. Because when you say you're coveting something, that means you are desiring something that you shouldn't have. But Paul says covet the best gifts. He says, but rather that you might prophesy. So he wants there to be this understanding that we all can receive these giftings and God wants to put them out there. And so he gives it to us so that we can begin to operate and there can be blessing to the body. But just like anything else in the kingdom, sometimes we have to go after it actively. We have to pursue it. We have to truly, truly want it. Now, I have watched a lot of different things in my life, TV shows and things like that. And sometimes when there are things being given away, people will act, I'll just say, out of their character in order to receive whatever it is that's being given away. It might not be something, in my opinion, that's all that valuable, but because it's being given away and it's free, they will do whatever they need to do. People will fly all over the country to be on game shows. They'll stand in line hoping they can get a ticket just so they can be on the show, hoping that their name will be called so they can run down the aisle and have an opportunity to guess the price of a gift or something that they might be able to take home if they could. The difference here is God saying, I have given you for every person who repents, believes on Jesus Christ, that they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because you have to have the giver before you can receive the gifts. He says, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, after we have received the giver, now we have the ability to receive gifts from him. Now, I am taking some liberty here to say that I'm sure he waits to hear from us to say, I want a gift, or I want the gifts. Because Paul says you have to earnestly desire it. Earnestly doesn't mean just casual, oh, that's nice. That's cool. Maybe I'll have one of them gifts one day. No, he says earnestly desire. Earnestly means that you yearn to have this gift. Now, if I were to switch it and put this in today's context and start talking about Marvel comic characters, and I said, what superpower would you all want? Then I start getting hands. Well, I would like to be like this person. I would like to be like this person. I would like to be like this person. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not here to talk about Marvel comic book powers, but I am talking about the spiritual gifts that God has given and made available, that he says you can receive them if you desire. And he wants you to have them, again, remember this, so that not just for you, but so that you can be a blessing to the body of Christ. And when we understand this, then we can walk in a complete level of confidence and comfort, because you don't have to be put off if someone says, well, I heard about them folks over there and they believe in them speaking in tongues. I ain't never heard of that such. It just sounds foolish to me. Sounds like they're crazy people. Well, you have to go talk to God.
All right.
If you think it makes me sound crazy. But just because you think it makes me sound crazy, don't mean I won't stop building. Why? Because I want to receive all that he has. I want to be built up the way that he says I can be built up. And so when I do so, I am not only doing it that is going to be a benefit to myself, but having my faith built up also blesses the body as well. So it's all about us understanding why he did what he did. Why did Jesus say, those who believe, these signs shall follow them? Because he said, after you believe on me, I want there to be some evidence that you are now a part of the family of God. He's a supernatural God. That means when we get saved, we are now supernatural beings. Why are we supernatural? Because we have a supernatural spirit of God on the inside. So if we have a supernatural spirit, there needs to be some supernatural manifestation.
Yes.
That's what the church was distinguished by with its formation. People saw what was going on in the church and they were like, how in the world is that happening? How is a person preaching, a man falls out of the window from the second story, falls down and dies, and the preacher goes down, takes his hand and brings him back to life? The power of God. It wasn't in the man. It was the gift of miracles that God had put in the man. But he knew what to do with them, and he operated in them. All of these things, God says, I have made this. I encourage you to anytime go through and read the chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians, it will give you a good explanation of all the gifts. But I wanted to take today to demystify tongues. Because many times people will look around, perhaps you've been in a church, and I'm not knocking it, because they're within their right to do so. But you might have heard them in praise, and you were listening, and you go, what is this person talking about? And you're listening, and it's not a language that you understand. But they're praying, they're praising, they're worshiping, they're talking to God in the tongue that he's given them. And when that happens, they are being built up. Now, there are times when you find in the Bible where you might have a group of believers who has come together and they will all be praying in their tongue, their own prayer language. It is a collective thing and nobody is put off by it. Nobody is like, what's going on? Because they all understand it. And for that reason, they can operate in it. But sometimes there are times that Paul points it out to the church of Corinth. He says, now you have to use a little wisdom. He says, because there might be people who come in and they might hear what you're doing and they'll be like, what's happening here? He says, but if you prophesy to them, he says, the content of their heart will be revealed. And then they'll be like, whoa, how did you know that about me? And the reason that happens is because God has given them the gift to speak a word to you. One more case in point, and then I will wrap it up, I promise you. We were in service when we were still on the campus of Boysville a few years ago. And we had just finished service. Everybody was kind of mingling around, talking and greeting, giving dap, showing love. And I was still standing at the podium. And for those who know one of the musicians who's here sometime named Ashton, he was plays drums for us. He was back off in the corner and I was just standing there and I just received, I don't know how else to explain it, like a spiritual download, like a spiritual fax, like a spiritual email. It's just like, bruh. And I had some information that I knew wasn't there before. So I caught his attention and he came over and then I just began to share what was written or what I saw before me. And I said, have you been traveling or going anywhere or anything like that? And he's like, well, just, you know, here in the city. And I said, you're about to get a phone call. Somebody's going to ask you to come and to play for them. And it's going to be out of the state. And it's going to be a blessing for you. And he's like, okay, very short message. That was about it. It was about 4 days later, 5 days later, he came up. He said, Pastor Steve, he said, I got a phone call this past Wednesday. It was from somebody out in California, wanted me to be on, what's that show with the America's Got Talent. He said, I don't know, somebody knew me, they called me up and asked me if I wanted to do it. And I just said, praise God. But the gift of prophecy in that place, or word of wisdom, again, it wasn't to benefit me. I just shared the word, gave it to him. It was a blessing to him. He went and he did his thing and what happened. But the reason I say this again is when we seek to have the gifts at operation in our lives, God is constantly wanting to speak. He's wanting to reveal himself. I told you in the New Testament, he is revealing himself. And not only is that, he wants to reveal more of himself to each of us. But the way he likes to do it, yes, he could just come down out of the sky and appear all of his glory. He says, but until I come back that way, I want to reveal myself in all my people. So I want to give you a word of knowledge. I want to give you gifts of healing so that if you see somebody in the body who needs prayer, you can lay your hands on them. He says, I'll do this so that the church can be built up and have power and strength and be an example so that when the world sees the church, they say, man, there's something different about them people. And we don't know what it is. That's what he is looking for. So I just want to encourage you today. I know we have to move forward, but I hope that that helped to demystify a little bit this whole idea of tongues. There is the prayer of tongues and there is the gift of tongues. They both have their own purposes. They both have their own reasons for being used, but nonetheless, they are all for us. And if we would take that into consideration, I think we will all be the better for it.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. And it helps to strengthen your personal walk with Christ. Higher Ground Christian Worship Center is devoted to advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples. And there are more exciting and life-changing words of encouragement and instructions coming your way. Again, we hope you have a chance to visit us at our physical location here at 9760 Rocket Lane in Converse, Texas. We also want to connect with you. If you happen to have a prayer request or any other needs, feel free to email us at highergroundcwc@gmail.com. Again, we look forward to hearing from you. God bless.